I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
See, you're so bad with timing, you try to screw it up thinking you're funny and you still hit it. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
31 degrees right now. Going to get up into the low 40s. It's a heat wave,
it's
baby.
It's nice.
Soak it in. No, mm-hmm. I literally walked outside and was like, huh.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Part of that is the weather we had the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The other part of that is where I was over the weekend.
Where was you?
I was in Ottawa.
Ooh, Mr. International.
My daughter at a hockey tournament. The Washington, D.C. of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Capital of Canada.
Capital One there.
Yeah, which, by the way, got super uncomfortable Saturday around noon.
Why? What happened?
You couldn't have waited one more weekend until I got out of town. That would have been great. So I'm not like having social and political discussions with every Canadian that figured out I was American. But the reason I'm telling you this story.
Whatever.
So we were staying in downtown Ottawa.
All right.
I had never been to downtown Ottawa before. It's like a major metropolitan area.
Okay.
Like when you're on the streets.
Big city.
Yeah. You would think you were in New York City just looking around on the streets. So this hotel that we're staying in, the whole team downtown, it has one of these underground parking garages that is super tight.
Oh.
You've seen these before.
Yeah.
You've seen them in New York, right? Like. It's if your car's over 6 feet, you're not getting
it's
in.
It's tough getting in.
The corners are unbelievably tight. There's scratches from paint all over the walls where people are trying to get in and out, right? So my wife and I drove separate. I had to come right up after work. She went on Thursday night with my girls because my daughter had an early game. And my oldest has a game Saturday morning. So I assume I am taking over the role as provider and driver again.
Yeah.
Because we are all together. And we're going to take my wife's car to where all my daughter's gear is. So I go to get in the front of the car. I'm walking towards the car. And my wife gets in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And I go, excuse me, miss. Pardon me, ma'am. I don't know if you know this. I'm here now. Big Daddy's here.
Okay.
So I'm driving.
All right.
And my wife never fights me to drive. Ever, ever.
Yeah.
I am the family driver. And she goes, no, I want to drive.
Okay.
I know something's up.
Well, she got it there, so.
She don't like driving. Mm. No, she complained about the 4.5-hour ride as soon as I saw her.
But she wants to drive.
She wants to drive.
Okay.
And I go, why do you want to drive? She goes, no, I just want to drive. I go, why do you want to drive?
Was she hiding something?
Well, she looks at me, Kimmy.
Ooh, a cover-up.
She looks at me. She says, well, I don't trust you to get my car out of this garage.
Wow.
Was it a tight fit?
Super tight.
Okay.
I mean, so my wife drives a Volkswagen Atlas from the great folks at the Ide Family Dealers.
Nice ride.
Wide car. Wide car. But I drove a Pilot, also about the same width. Got mine in there just fine. No problem. And granted, it's tight. But she does not believe that I have the skill to navigate the hairpin turns and corners to get this car out of the garage without scratching it up.
So it's a little humiliating.
A little? A little? Let me ask you a question.
Challenge your masculinity and back it up.
There is nothing more challenging to your masculinity than I don't think you can drive this car. They made a whole movie called Grease over it.
Yeah, true.
I do
have a question because I could understand if she felt that way if you had a history of dinging up the car. You know what I mean? In those situations.
Never.
Like, is there anything she could point to? To say, hey, remember that time you...
The only car accident or scratch moment I've ever had in my life was when I hit that deer that ran out in front of my car a couple years ago. That's it.
I'm just trying to, you know, wrap my head around why she may not trust you.
That's why I was so flabbergasted.
So what's the deal?
Well, okay. I'm going to ask you a question first.
Ask away.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because I can admit maybe I'm overreacting. If you're in this same situation and your wife goes, I'm going to drive, I don't trust you to not scratch the car. How are you feeling in that moment?
Oh, I'm pissed.
Okay, thank you.
What are you talking about?
Thank you. I mean, look, I mean, about it.
You know better than me. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the greatest, but you think you're above me?
Thank you.
At best, it's even Stevens. I'm leading a little.
No. There's no even Stevens. Just from time driving.
Yeah.
Just from time driving. Because you and I, we're on the road, man. We're driving everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of parking garages.
Yes.
I've navigated things you ain't even seen. Man. I've tangled roundabouts you can't even imagine. Man. Kimmy, would you ever dream of looking at your husband and saying, I'm going to drive, I don't trust you to navigate this situation?
I'm trying to think. Probably not. I mean, the only thing I can think is that it's her car, so are you a little hard on her car?
No, she's hard on the car. I'm soft.
My husband's a little hard on the brakes in my car. I wouldn't tell him he couldn't drive it. But, like, there are some times where it's like, geez, man, like, can we slow down a
little? He's probably constantly putting on the brakes, that relationship. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Quick sidebar. You know why he does that? Because I got the same problem in my car. He's heavier. Therefore, he does not feel the brake like you do because his body sits in the seat
where you
fly forward because you're lighter. My wife does the same thing.
Oh.
Right. What are you doing?
You guys are hard on the brakes. That's all I'm saying.
Driving normal. It's fine.
A little hard on the brakes.
So we have a discussion. We have a discussion.
By the way, this kid's still got to get to the rink.
Got to get to the rink.
Well, you're breaking down who's pulling out.
Look, man. Hockey,
time's a ticket.
Hockey tournament be damned. Yeah. I got a point to prove here. So you know what?
We're going to have a competition.
No, it's fine.
I was going to say, if you did hop in that driver's seat, the pressure's on. Like, you have 0% room for error.
Oh, but it goes the other way, too.
Yeah.
Because my rightful place
is
in the front seat of that car.
Mm-hmm.
My throne has been usurped. Usurped.
Did you give it up?
I did.
Oh.
And here's why.
Right.
You know, you think you're so, you think you're hot?
Yeah.
You think you got it? Why don't you show me here? And I'm going to look you in the face the entire time. And you've known me a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know how petty I am.
Yes.
Okay.
You're Richard Petty, which would be apropos for this story.
I understand that, we share a bank account, so both of the money we spend comes out of the same account.
Yeah.
And that repairing a scratch on a car would be super expensive.
A foreign car. A German foreign car.
I think it was made in Mercosur, but developed in foreign soil.
Mm-hmm.
All I wanted more than anything in the world, my wife to scratch that car.
Yeah, you're rooting for a dinger.
And I'm not saying it out loud, but I am sitting in that driver's seat, and I'm thinking to myself, come on, you want to pull this move? Because if you disrespect your husband, which, by the way, Bible says do not do. That is against the Bible.
We're getting biblical.
I'm just saying, I got several scripture quotes I could give you. I'm sitting in that passenger seat. Praying to the god of petty punks, please let her scratch his car.
So?
She got it out, no problem.
Okay. all that arguing and stressing for nothing.
No, but I would have done the same thing because I got my car out, no problem, because I know how to.
I wouldn't have challenged my wife.
You what?
I would not have challenged my wife.
You would have just sat down in the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah.
What a
bitch. You would have sat down in the passenger seat, but secretly hoping there was a ding coming.
But I wouldn't have challenged her.
No.
I wouldn't
but
have
you would
put
have
a.
Silently
let's see what you got there, kid.
No, but I was so taken aback, I had no choice but to argue. I didn't. In a million years, I would have never imagined my wife saying, hey, you know what? This parking garage too tight for you to navigate. I got this one. And why don't you sit back and watch me do it? How? And in front of my children.
I know.
In front of my children. How is daddy supposed to be the big, strong man when he can't even get out of tight parking garage?
Yeah, but what do you do? She got out.
Yeah, and I'm not happy about it. Yeah. I'm not happy.
You're lost.
You're stuck.
It is a thing. Like, there were like three or four other times she had to take the car out of the garage during the weekend. Mm. So every time I'm waiting. I'm hoping. Like, every time, like, even before we left, I did a walk around the car to see if there were any scratches. You know,
which is amazing because any
inspection.
All three of my wife and any woman I've ever been with, when we've taken a trip, they never want to touch the car.
Yes.
Ever.
Thank you.
They don't. If we're out of town. Mm-hmm. They're not familiar. They want nothing to do with the car.
Amen.
Which I'm surprised, like, your wife, held her ground.
I've never seen this from her.
Yeah.
Before. I'm here to tell you where the road is out. 252 WCMF. I'm in Ottawa over the weekend with the family. We're in this tight, tight underground parking garage. And I go to drive the car on Saturday to go to the rink. We had taken separate cars. My wife goes, I'm going to drive. Doesn't happen. Very strange. I'm trying to figure out why. Straight up tells me, I don't think you can get my car out of this garage, which was deeply offensive. And then when she started driving the car, I was praying, despite the fact that it would have cost us a fortune because we share a bank account, that she scratched the hell out of this thing. Carrie Ann writes, could it be she thought you'd get stressed trying to navigate, so she was saving your anxiety? I'm cool as a cucumber in that situation, man. I got this.
Most of that stress comes from the fact I'm in the car with my wife.
Great point.
Because that just amps up the anxiety, because when you start to pull out and your wife goes,
yeah,
oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I don't need sound effects. I got it.
Well, I guess you don't have to worry about that if she's driving.
No, but I do have to worry, because now I have the anxiety. No, I have the anxiety now. Like, let me have
I can't make them noises.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You know, Well, she got pissed at me because, like, I was doing that on the way to the rink.
Oh.
Not the but I'm trying to help. Okay.
Wait, what were you trying to do?
Finish that sentence.
Mansplain it
to you,
baby.
I was pissed. So I felt, you know what?
French rooms.
You're going to tell me how you feel. They do. They got French names. You're going to tell me how you feel about my driving out of the garage. I'm going to tell you how I feel about your directions. How about that? Because she does this thing. My wife drives me nuts. She waits till the absolute last minute to get into a lane and move. And we're not familiar with where we are. Like, you're on Ridge Road, fine. You know how to navigate that thing. We're in a foreign country. Never been in downtown Ottawa before. You got to pull over last minute and hope a Canadian with a mullet's going to let you in. That ain't going to happen.
You're going to miss that roux.
That's right. Man. Or from. Yeah, so.
Sounds like you had a good time up
there. Actually, here's the thing. Other than that moment, we had the time of our lives. But, like,
so then did she do most of the driving?
No. After that moment, I drove for the rest of the weekend. I got the car in and out of the garage, no problem, which I managed. I made sure I pointed out every single time.
That's a good thing to do, just to reiterate the argument.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Married, how many times?
Well, I learned. I learned to shut up.
Okay, no, I will not shut up. I will not be silenced.
I mean, in marriage, sometimes you got to eat a pound of dirt. What are you going to do?
But why is it okay for her to...
not eat dirt?
Openly disrespect me. Openly.
Because I can.
That's not an answer.
Yes, it is.
I can openly disrespect. No, I don't want to. I don't want to do that.
Because there's no consequence to her disrespecting me. There is a consequence for you disrespecting her. It's way different. She can make your life miserable.
I could make her life miserable.
No, you can't.
I can walk around naked.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. No, he can put his ass on the couch.
I'll start asking.
But that's
couch.
What it takes. It takes literally getting naked and rubbing your ass on furniture till I make a point. That's how weak we are.
I'm not above that, man. I'm not at any port in a storm. I'm not above it. I'm just saying.
Or any ass on a couch.
Yeah, there you go. I also found it funny, too. My wife, you know, living up here, playing hockey, you know, all that stuff. I'm very familiar with how Canada works. My wife, every time we go to Canada, it's like she's at a carnival for the first time. Because, like, the American dollar, well, as of now, is super strong in Canada.
Yeah.
So it's like shopping at a 40% off store everywhere you go. Yeah. And they have all these unique, like, foods and stores that we don't have in America, where my wife is just wanting to, like, stop at everything and run around. Like, we went into a Canadian Tire. She'd never been into a Canadian Tire before yesterday. It's like, wow, it's like Walmart of Canada.
You told me that, and I've been into Canada a million times. I didn't know it was a Walmart. I thought it was just a tire store, because I never needed a tire when I was up there.
No.
I just thought it was a big-ass tire store.
Got everything, man.
Damn.
You can get hockey sticks and tires.
So it's a Walmart.
Yeah, it's like a Walmart without food. But it's got a whole. It's got everything. Oh. I love Canadian Tire. Well, loved. I don't know as an American if I'm allowed to anymore. I'm still waiting to get, you know, what I'm saying here.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's not the smartest move in the whole world. But I guess most crimes we talk about, not the smartest move in the whole
world. Yeah, probably.
Because these three men, I guess, thought there was going to be a score behind this chain link fence. But with the time this has been empty, what the hell could be left?
Yeah, hey. Okay.
You're hanging out in the break of Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. So over the weekend, three men, according to police, were caught with burglar tools at the old Radisson Riverside Hotel.
Wait, the rat's nest we're trying to take down?
Right there on the river. Right. So for those who don't know, according to News 8, police have been running a special detail because of a string of recent criminal contact.
I thought it was like all homeless people just hanging out in there.
Apparently not.
Yeah, but chucking chairs out the window. Yeah.
Well, we had that story from last week.
Into the river, yeah.
Yeah. So part of that detail, according to authorities, they found three men, 19, 20, and 21 years old, inside the fenced-off property. Authorities say the men had bolt cutters, pry bars, and metal picks.
They went there on a mission.
Put a pin in that. They say the men took off running when they were caught through a freshly cut hole in the fence after a chase. Three men were arrested. All have court dates coming up. You were asking?
Why do you need that to get into? The place looks almost like you could walk through the busted windows.
So it looks like there's a metal fence around it.
Okay.
So that's trying to keep people out.
All right.
But other than the bolt cutters, the other two things they had there, what is left to steal in that hotel?
Yeah, because I thought most people that were going into it at this point were like, either just seeking shelter or like they're like the urban explorers. Like they just want to go to see what's inside. Like to your point, I don't know what benefit there is
like, what
to
value.
Anybody. Yeah,
because like we know there have been burglaries already, which means valuable stuff.
So they probably have gutted that thing with like copper wire or something.
Yeah,
I mean unless there's so much copper wire.
Ooh,
like
look at dimmer switch. Wait, but, I got the size from the Hiccups Comedy Club.
I mean, what are we missing?
Yeah, what could be?
The remains of Tommy Mulay's act on that stage. No, I mean, like, what are we missing? 252-WCMF, what of value is still inside that hotel that has been abandoned now for, what, 5 years?
At least.
And even if it was, even if there was something of value, I'd assume at this point it's all kind of been destroyed, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what would still be intact.
I mean, how many?
It would have to be, like, copper, something that wouldn't rot.
Well, no, because, again, I would have thought that all the copper was gone.
It's got to be.
How many rooms do you think are in that hotel? 200, 300? 300?
At least 100, 150.
Well, it's way more than 100.
I mean, it's a big place.
It's a huge hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge hotel.
I lived in it for 2 weeks.
And that was like 3 weeks ago.
That was nice.
So, like, could they have been, like, trying to rip out sinks and toilets?
I guess, but they're, like, ancient. I mean, they're... What would you do with them?
Is there a black market for sinks and toilets?
But those toilets are probably 30 years old.
And
what do you think you would get for it?
I'm asking. I don't know.
By the way, you'd have to carry it out over the fence into your truck.
Again, hoping nobody's destroyed it already, because there have been people in and out of that place for years now.
I can't
setting fires in there. Yeah. I mean, I don't know like what's in good condition.
I can't imagine though that they smashed every toilet and every sink and every room.
But I'm trying to think like chairs out the window.
What could you get for flipping a 30-year-old toilet?
I don't know, Kimmy. Will you Google? I guess you couldn't Google this. Like, I mean, can I? You can probably buy a used toilet and a used sink. Right, they have those.
But new toilets are like $250.
Right,
like,
so what this one costs $100.
I bet,
down.
Who's buying a used crapper?
Okay, bro. Look at me.
There's a market for everything.
We have been in some bad ways. You bought a used mattress, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I bought a used mattress, used TV.
You can buy a used toilet. They have them on Facebook Marketplace.
How much used?
Let's see.
They're all stained up.
Hold on.
Right, Kimmy's on it. All right,
okay, so they range from like $40 to this one's $425, but it's got the
bidet.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want someone else's bidet. I'm getting splashback.
Yeah.
From his brown eye.
I mean, know.
Brown eye splashback. One of my least favorite Ribs Arkansas songs.
So there's one that looks like it's still in the box that somebody must have just never used. That one's $150.
All right. So here's the thing. Right. You talk about Facebook Marketplace. If someone had a store of used toilets, right, where you could walk in and I can't afford a new toilet, I could do that. Wipe it down when I get home. If I had to go to someone's house and look the man in the face who used that toilet, I don't think I could use that toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird because you would use that toilet if you went over to his house to like watch a show.
Hey, you put your bare ass where his was.
But I don't. Is that weird that I wouldn't?
You don't think about it at the time. Because I never really take dumps in other people's houses. Unless I really have to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to, but I've had to.
I have to, but it's been a long time.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I would think as you get older, your rectum would be...
Bro, you are correct.
Okay.
It's every time I get up, it's a crapshoot. A literal crapshoot.
I mean, I guess you could buy the toilet and just buy a new seat for it, right? Would that...
But that ruins the cost.
Well, no. What's a seat cost? $10?
It's not...
No, seats are expensive.
Toilet seats, bro.
I mean,
a decent toilet seat will probably cost you $35,
$40. Did you hear what you just said? That was the oldest man sentence. A decent toilet seat will run you $35, $40.
And if it has like a damper, like, you know, like you don't slam the lid, it just goes down.
Don't even be started with those.
You're looking at $100, $100 minimum.
No, but even if I buy a new toilet seat, like, I mean, you know, that dude's urine is bad. But the urine's been all over the thing.
And by the way, those are also hotel toilets.
Yeah.
Which I think are different than the ones in your house, the way they hook up.
They won't hook up the same way?
I don't think so. I don't think they have the same, like, tanks and stuff.
Okay, so then what are they stealing out of the hotel? What was their plan to get in there and take?
Maybe faucets? I don't know.
Okay.
Did they just want to see what was inside?
Maybe
they're kids. Some of them are...
Soap holders?
Well, and that's just it.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this story happened over the weekend at the old Radisson Riverside, the hotel that's been shuttered, Clarion, whatever the hell you called it. Three guys, 19, 20, and 21, were arrested after police said they found them inside the fence of the property with, as they put it, burglary tools. They took off outside of a freshly cut hole in the fence. Police ended up catching them after a chase. They are all facing charges. They got a court date coming up. I mean, it's also possible, because, you know, we know that place has been closed forever and ever and ever. Maybe these kids are so young, they don't know how long
well,
it's been.
Well, I'll give you that. Something new. Yeah, right? People don't watch the news. Yeah.
Can I ask another question that I don't
quite
understand? Okay. So it says in the story that the police have been paying special attention to this hotel because of the string of crimes recently. Again, we had a story we told you last week where there were broken windows and chairs found in the river next to the hotel, the assumption being someone's throwing chairs out of the window up there. Why are the police responsible for keeping an eye on the hotel?
I guess at this point, it could just be dangerous to people around the hotel. You know what I mean?
I mean, the first people you're going to call, there's a problem.
If there's chairs flying from, you know, five stories up.
I guess what I'm getting at is we now know, after a long time of the hotel being shuttered, there are plans to redevelop the property, a new hotel, luxury apartments.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
Street retail. And look, it is attached to the convention center, so it's valuable property, right?
Yeah. But, like, let's get on it kind of thing.
If it's owned by someone privately, Kimmy, who plans on doing this, why is that person not responsible for hiring security 24/7 to keep an eye
on the
police?
That's a good point.
Unless that's already happening and they called the police, right? Is there security at that hotel?
Well, the security can only do so much. I mean, after that, the security is going to call the cops.
I understand.
They can't carry guns and shoot people.
But here's the thing. It doesn't say in the story. Now, again, maybe this did happen.
Right.
But it doesn't say in the story security alerted the police. It said the police have been paying special attention to the hotel. Is there a 24-hour security force?
Like a guy that's just sitting there?
Or two walking around? Because, like, over here.
Doesn't sound like it.
The courthouse, federal courthouse. Yeah. Even in the middle of the night, they have a security guard walking around in circles when I come into work, making sure the place is fine. Why would that not be? Is that, man? Is that happening?
Maybe you're not obligated.
How could you not be?
Well, what are you going to do?
Hire a security guard.
But let's say the guy doesn't want to. Well, he doesn't want to spend the money because why am I protecting this piece of crap? I don't care.
Well, because stuff like this happens and someone could die and it becomes a legitimate problem for every other building attached. If
they don't seem to care.
I don't get it. I don't understand how you can just buy a building and let it go. If my lawn doesn't get mowed for a week, I get a letter from the town, but this keeps happening.
Well, they might have put up that fence and said, well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That should keep them out.
Can't hop a fence or cut a fence. we got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. This comes in from Dan. Dan says, that's a huge hotel. There's no way all the copper wire has been pulled out of it yet.
Oh, all right.
So all you copper wire enthusiasts.
Don't get your wire.
No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Yeah. Very illegal. If it's copper wire theft.
Yeah.
Right, now, I'm going to admit, I am naive to the world, ignorant of copper wire theft. I always thought of older people doing that, not a 19, 20, and a 21.
Yeah.
Well, if there's money to be made, I mean, anybody could get in on a game.
But who teaches you how to do that? Because you can't, I mean, I don't even know where to find the copper
YouTube.
Wire. Where's the copper wire? Like, if you walk in, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You walk into a building, and they go, find the copper wire.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
To the front desk and ask them. Hello, information. Where do you keep your copper wire?
I don't know where the copper wire is in my house.
It's in the wall.
I don't know how much of it you'd have to get to be, like, how much of it would you have to steal for it to be worth it, especially if there's three people involved.
All right, well, let's see.
So you got to go to a scrapyard, right, with your copper wire.
Sure, yeah.
So do I need, like, a whole truckload to make, like, $1,000?
Well, I know this much is worth a penny.
Oh, okay.
About a penny size of copper.
Yeah, I don't think it works.
I know. Well, how else would it work?
I don't even think a penny's a penny anymore.
I don't even think, you mean it's copper? That's what you meant to say?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't even think a penny's a penny
anymore. No, I don't think a penny's worth a penny.
He talks for a living. I thought pennies were worth more than a penny, and that's why they wanted people to stop making pennies.
Well, didn't they start making them with less copper or something?
Yeah, maybe they make them with tin.
Pennies.
Tin penny.
All right. Matthew's going to help us out here.
All right.
The copper wire is attached to the plugs. You pull the plugs out and pull the wire.
It's got to be gone
what
at
plug?
This point.
No, like the electricity.
Oh.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
The wire.
I feel really stupid.
Copper wire.
I really wish I hadn't said out loud.
Well, I thought like the plumbing too was copper. Like all the tubes that go to the sink. That's all copper.
I thought that was plastic.
I thought it was copper.
Copper plastic?
Or is it lead?
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. That hotel, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so I guess the moral of the story is, stop breaking into the hotel!
There's nothing there, relax.
And somebody's going to get hurt!
Yes.
Dear God.
You're going to cut your hand.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We have a right not to pay for things.
Okay.
Like, not like stealing, but if there's a service I don't want anymore, I should be able to be like, hey, I don't want to do
this.
Not
using it.
Yeah, exactly. That became much easier here in the state of New York over the weekend for one notoriously borderline shady business practice.
Whatever.
But Tommy, as good as this is, the way this was, probably should have brought us more motivation.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
On Saturday.
Whatever.
The world we knew forever and ever changed here in the state of New York. New legislation has made it much easier to cancel all gym and health club memberships.
Why was it hard before?
Because they wanted to keep your money.
Yeah, I mean, but usually if you don't want anything, I'm canceling, I'm done.
Yeah,
why are you still charging me? It's like you're in the mob. You can't get away from them.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, we all remember how hard it was to get out of a gym membership, right? Mm. But the new rules are as follows. One, they have to accept cancellations through their website, email, phone, or in person.
Under the I quit this bitch.
Yes, exactly. Right. Now, if you ever tried to cancel a gym membership before, some of the gyms had policies like you have to write a letter that has to be this long detailing why you don't want the membership. You have to send it to this specific place between these specific times. I'm not making this up.
They also wanted you to come in and do it so they could give you another hard sales pitch of why you shouldn't.
But if you went in, then they would tell you need to write the letter and send it. They made it as hard as possible. So there's no hoops or trolls you have to talk to.
Cut the cord.
And it goes further.
Right.
Gyms will now also have to issue refunds, if applicable, within 10 days of canceling your gym membership. And even with contracts, if I'm reading this correctly, you will have 3 days after signing up to cancel that contract.
I don't want
to
do
it. Yes, with no penalty. Now, look into it yourself in case I'm reading it the wrong way. And the reason this is such a big deal, Tommy, it was believed that most gyms make money, more money, from people not going to the gym than people that were actually going to the gym.
Yeah, the theory was they just oversold it, knowing you ain't coming. Mm-hmm. And so, a tenth of those people actually show up and use the crap every day.
Are you ready for the most shocking statistic of the week?
Yes.
You ready? A recent study shows that almost 7 in 10 people with gym memberships do not use them.
So 70%.
70% of people with gym memberships
don't go at all.
Not even sparingly. Yeah. Do not step foot in the gym.
So then you had to think of that 30% that are going to the gym probably aren't doing it on a regular basis.
Yes.
Like that gym rat percentage has got to be so low. That cat that's there every day.
Yeah, you're right.
I wonder if it's because there are a lot of gyms that they're the affordable option. So it's like $10 to $20 a month for the gym. And I wonder if people who have those memberships just think, even though they're not using it right now, well, I'll keep it because what if I want to go?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like they think towards the future, like, well, maybe I'll use it eventually or I'll use it next month. And then it just keeps rolling over over. But you just like to have the access to it if you want
it. It's a great question.
So 70% of us sign up and just get fatter.
Never go. Yeah. Never go to the gym. All right. So can I ask a question? And I ask sincerely, as someone who in the past has signed up for a gym membership, did not go and could not get out of it. 252-WCMM, 252-9263. If we could never get out of our gym memberships, why did we still not go to the gym?
Because it sucks.
Okay, I get that it sucks.
Because even paying that monthly fee didn't motivate you enough to go.
But are we that lazy?
Yeah.
In all seriousness, because I've been there, man. I've been there.
Yeah.
You're paying money for
weights.
Yes.
And treadmills you're not going to use.
And you can't get out of it. And sure, you were upset you couldn't cancel it, but if we were being forced to pay it anyways, we all should have been going to the gym more.
Yes.
And let's keep in mind, Kimmy, you brought up those $10, $20 a month gyms.
Yeah.
That's only within the last 20 years those existed. Tommy, you remember, for a long time, gym memberships cost a fortune.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Planet Fitness changed the game with that $10 a month. That was revolutionary. Mm-hmm. It was a $50, $60, $70, $80 a month commitment that you could not get out of. And then the penalties for not following through on the contract you signed were even more serious. There were stories of people being sued by gyms for breaking their contract when they decided to stop paying. There are stories of people who shut down their bank accounts that had them tied to their membership, thinking that would shut it down, only for their gym to send that bill to collections.
Bam.
How did we not get the F up and go to the gym?
But look at us. Look at America, man.
Look at America.
Do we look like we go to the gym?
No, that's what I'm saying. We should, based on what we spent.
Yes, but we don't.
Like, if you...
Well, I was kind of one of those people that had the membership that didn't really go up until the point where my gym closed and I didn't know. But I...
Wait a minute, stop.
I told you this.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
You didn't know it closed.
So it wasn't until like a week after it closed that somebody's like, hey, did you know the gym closed? And I'm like, no.
And you were still paying for it as far as you knew.
I think so. Something must have happened because I did go back and look and they hadn't charged me for like the last 6 months.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, oh, maybe my membership ended. I didn't know. But I was kind of one of those people that I didn't go to the gym that often, but if I went like once, I felt like I got my money's worth.
Okay.
So that's why I kept like rolling it over every month because they're like, well, if I go like one day, it's kind of like paying $10 to use the gym, you know?
And maybe that's, I always kind of thought that's why people who had those really economical gym memberships, which by the way, great deal.
Yeah.
And if you're
the cheapos.
Yeah. Well, like, no.
$10
well,
a month.
I just,
when you call it cheapo, it gives it a negative connotation.
No, I meant cheapo, good o.
Oh, it's an Irish cheap.
Yeah. Oh, good o. Oh, him again.
No, I
yeah, like if I went a few times, I felt like, well, what's $10, you know?
And that's just it. Like, I always assume those gym memberships are so cheap. That's what kept people from, like, actually going to the gym every
probably.
Day. Because you went once, I got my money's worth. I don't have to go tomorrow.
Yeah. But this kind of makes sense with the other report you did about how people with their New Year's resolutions peter out in under 30 days.
No, it was under 2 weeks. It's the second Friday of the new year is
we already tapped
day.
Out.
Yeah.
So, like, we're really good at signing up and quitting.
But I always thought cash was a motivating factor.
It should be.
For example, again, we're talking about over the weekend, New York State passed legislation that has made it much easier to cancel all gym and health club memberships. They have to allow you to cancel through their website, email, phone, or in person. Also, you don't have to jump through hoops to do it anymore. And if applicable, the gym will have to refund you within 10 days of canceling your gym membership. You know, they always say if you want to do something that is hard, spend money up front on something you see every day.
To motivate.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Like if you want to learn a new language, well, go spend money on one of those apps that's on the front of your phone so you're faced with it every day. Like, I have spent money on this. Maybe the key, because you can't see the gym, is to go buy like a pair of sneakers that were expensive. That way you're motivated to use them.
Right. I don't know. I know people
or
that
a mirror
when
where you see your fat ass every morning when you're getting dressed.
You have a
look
mirror.
At your dimply fat ass.
He hasn't changed ugly. I'm looking at you right now. He's still ugly.
No, I mean, I don't know if that motivates people either, because I know people, especially around the beginning of the year when they decide they're going to, you know, kickstart their gym life, they'll go and buy all the gear or whatever it takes to do whatever their resolution is, and it just sits there. I don't know if that expensive pair of sneakers does anything
right,
for you.
Right, because you buy those Pelotons and those treadmills, and that's sitting there in your house. You know, those just become storage.
You don't take care of your kids.
No, you strip all day, sleep all afternoon.
Dope chopping, weed transport.
We're just lazy. And the thing about it is, if you can't, there might be the psychological thing too, is if I cancel it, I'm giving up.
You're a quitter.
Yeah,
I'm quit. I'm going to get fat again.
It's the official stamp.
Even though you're
stamp.
Already fat.
Yeah.
God's sakes.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What?
Whoa.
I know, I mean it a positive. You're fat. You're positively fat.
Yeah, making that official cancellation.
You gave up.
Yeah, is you admitting defeat.
Okay, that's an interesting way to look at it. Can I ask a serious question?
Absolutely.
Is this going to put gyms out of business?
Probably not.
Well, look, there are a few gyms whose business model is, like Kimmy brought up, cheap monthly membership, knowing that, like we said, one, people won't go, and two, the monthly charge is so low that people won't even jump through the hoops to save that kind of money.
Yeah.
But now with it being this easy, even if you're spending $10 a month, that is $120 a year.
Nothing will ever kill that getting in shape business. Because I see, like, even things on TV that are coming around again that didn't work the first time.
Yeah.
Like, people sign up. You see this new one where you just sit down and it's a pair of pedals.
Yeah.
And you just pedal.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to get really healthy. It's like jogging.
I want that. I do it now.
Like, well, it's like, I guess if you sit at a desk all day.
Right, but it's like, you know, remember the ab roller?
Yeah.
And then they had that thing with the wheel with the handles on it, you push back.
Those actually work.
But, I mean, they keep coming up with this stuff, but it just keeps coming around again. And, you know, all that stuff just ends up in your basement or in a yard
sale. Watching
it
right now on TV.
Okay, yeah, no, you're not kidding. no, I mean, I get what you're saying. I
don't think you're ever going to kill this industry because people always want to get it, think they want to get into shape.
Okay, but there's a difference between the stuff you buy on TV versus gym membership. Because if I'm going to buy a Nordic Track or a treadmill or even an ab roller, whatever the flavor of the week is, right? They just need me to spend money once.
Right.
Right? I need to just be motivated in that moment enough to be like, you know what? I'm going to do it. With the gym, they need me to keep spending money. So if, you know, let's say hypothetically Planet Fitness, if 70% of the people that are going there don't actually go to the gym and look at this and go, I'm going to cancel it, how do they survive? Other than like raising the price of what it costs to go.
I bet you they survive. I bet you it doesn't affect people because everybody wants to look good.
Okay.
They just don't want to put any effort into it.
I mean,
and so it's like they'll stay with it with the hope of eventually.
And that's what they dangle in front of you, right?
Okay.
Like they're going to show you in those ads, they're going to show you beautiful people working out at that gym.
Yes.
Right?
Well, they're all beautiful people.
And then when you go to the gym, you're going to see your brother Ryan and me coming out from the locker room. And that's the people that are actually at the gym. Bug-eyed, fat ass, sweating, running their goddamn mouths.
Are you describing both of you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's regular ugly ass people walking around. Blubbies and tubbies and dummies.
But wait a minute. Yeah, if you're out of shape, that, those are the people that are in a gym.
But that's all you're going to see. You're not going to see this glitzy,
you don't want,
beautiful, glistening people working out on these machines.
But I don't think that's what you want when you go to the gym.
That's what they're selling you on television.
But if you're a first-time gym goer, I don't want to see everybody in shape. Like, I want to see everybody like me that's doing this for the first time.
It is weird how they sell it like that, though.
Yeah.
Even when they're selling me, like, bicycles or anything, you know, that Burt's bicycle thing?
Yeah.
I got to see the housewife with the big rack. Mom's taking a rack out for a summer pedal. That ain't who is actually out there.
Mom's taking a rack out for a summer pedal is my favorite Rubes Arkansas song.
Mom's out taking a pedal. She's running that rack around. But son, you best not meddle. Don't touch that rack.
That's not going to hit the greatest hits album, I don't
know.
No, but going back to the point you just made about what people look at, what people look like.
And that's the image they're selling you.
I understand. But, Kimmy, I'm with you.
Yeah, that would prevent me from going to that gym.
Well, like, tell them, because that's not what they're marketing.
No, look, this is going to sound so dumb, and I don't mean it to sound belittling. Because, I walked into those gyms at 300 pounds, and it sucks, because you're looking around, and there's people that look way better than you. And
but there's also you there.
No, I understand, but you're intimidated, right?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like everyone's looking at you, like you feel like you don't belong there. And, like,
you don't.
The gym that I go to, right, there are people that have made it past that quitter's 2 weeks, right?
At the hump.
Yeah, and they're doing their best.
They're going for it.
They're getting in shape, right? Mm-hmm. But their bodies don't look like they want them to. And I almost, this, and I know it would be bad, so I don't do it, but I want to go up to them and be like, I'm proud of you. This is awesome. I've been there. That's awesome.
It is tough.
It is. Like when I see, I don't give a crap about the guy that's got like shoulders on shoulders. You've been doing this every day your entire life. Like, that's not impressive to me. It's that guy that's impressive to me. That woman that's impressive to me. Like, you're sticking it out. I'm happy for you. I want to be friends. Yes.
I want to cheer you on. Get those knees up.
Go.
You go, girl.
Go. So I would like to read you
what
might be the funniest number you hear all day.
What's that?
Because we just shared with you 7 in 10 Americans that belong to a gym do not go.
Yeah.
It is believed that about 180 million Americans currently belong to a gym.
Wait, that's, what are we, 300 million?
That is over half of the women, children, and men in America. 330
Holy
million.
Crap.
Now, we know most people aren't going. We told you that. But it is believed that right now, 10% of Americans with gym memberships are unaware that they have a gym membership and are paying for it. 10%, which would be about 18 million Americans.
That's like a little economy of its own.
Yeah.
Yes, but they got it so long ago, and it kept rolling over in the contract they didn't read. They are still a member of this gym or health club, and they have no idea.
Damn.
So maybe go through your statements.
What a genius business plan, though.
Well, yeah, until now it's not, because it's borderline, sounds illegal. Sure.
There are
it's
those
not really illegal. You've just been paying and not coming.
Well, yeah, but if you want to cancel it.
Well, you can cancel. Tomorrow.
There are all those services that they're advertising now that will help you find.
Rocket Mortgage is one of them, right?
Like, they'll help you find some things that you've you've subscribed to that you didn't even know you're being charged for, whether it's a gym or a streaming service or something you signed up for online
and
that's been charging
you
every month.
They say they do.
Well,
but doesn't
they
that app
at least locate it?
Charge you a fee?
Monthly.
To charge you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're paying a fee to get rid of these fees.
And
I could just go through my phone and do the work myself and get
rid
of it.
Well, sometimes, like, you don't know, honestly. Like, it could be something you signed up for, like, 10 years ago on a website that you forgot about.
Yeah, but you could go through your statements. Well, your credit cards are showing, like, you got billed for something.
Yeah,
you could do it.
Okay. But the irony is...
There's, like, no mystery to it, really.
To your point, the irony is, right, like, I could forget I'm paying for this Rocket Mortgage app or Rocket app. That was telling me about the things I forgot I was, right? What app is going to come out to remind me that I'm paying for that app?
I'm sure we all do it. We all have stuff on our phones that we're still paying for that I'm sure I haven't used in years.
100%.
But let them have it.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.